I tell you, moms are special. Amen. Let me have a word of prayer with us this morning as we just jump into God's Word this morning, because this morning we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're talking about the way, and what we pray this morning is that the Holy Spirit would have a special anointing on our moms as they lead us into a closer relationship with Christ. And for those of us here today who've lost moms, as we remember, some of the life lessons that our moms have taught us. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so very much that we can gather today on this special time of just recognition, maybe for some of us, remembrance of what our moms have done in our lives, the incredible influence. And Father, we just pray that you just pour out your Spirit on us in this place today as we celebrate Mom's Day, for the moms that are with us, that we have an opportunity just to love on them, hug them extra hard today, and just say, hey, I love you. Thank you so much for all that you do. And God, we just pray that you just pour out a powerful anointing of your Spirit on us this morning as we look at your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's an exciting day for the Nix household, at least. We now have, anybody want to guess? One more Sunday of driving to Griffin over an hour. It's really exciting. We're counting down the days. We've got two more weeks. The 25th is our packing day, Saturday the 25th. So we are really excited about getting moved down to Griffin. We're supposed to be moving in on the 29th. So say a special prayer for us over the next couple of weeks. We're in the midst of boxes and packing, and I packed up my shoes, folks. Yep, I don't really match today. I was getting dressed this morning, and this past week, Melissa was challenging me. She's very competitive. She throws up, I've packed 5 boxes today. How many of you packed? And I thought, well, what's easy to pack real quick? Shoes. So I packed all my shoes except for my Crocs. So I'm wearing my Crocs. You'll see these the next couple of days. That's all I got. You know, every day this week, maybe next Sunday, I'll probably wear these, or maybe a pair of running shoes. You never know. It's whatever's left out. I'm just being careful not to pack my underwear up. And, you just want to always keep those fresh and out, So those and clean socks. We're in good shape, but we're looking forward to you. Y'all just be praying for us next couple of weeks. And listen, we're continuing this morning in our series, Anointed. And we're talking about, we're looking at the book of Acts, but we're not just looking specifically into the book of Acts. We're looking at several different places in Scripture that point us to an understanding of the move of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, how God desires to anoint His people, how God desires to anoint and pour out a fresh anointing of His Spirit on the church, on each and every one of us as we are members of the body of Christ. So if you want to go ahead reach into your worship guide this morning, you should find a little sheet of paper in there that's got some sermon notes if you're a note taker. So what we want to talk about is make sure we understand what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God actually says, because we've gotten away from what the Bible says is factual about the Holy Spirit to a large degree. A lot of people, a lot of individuals, a lot of denominations have moved away from factually what Scripture teaches us. Most of the arguments about the Holy Spirit are weird personal opinions that have nothing to do with the truth. And the Word, what we want to talk about this morning then, is understanding what the Word says. What does Scripture teach us about the Holy Spirit? How do we experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives? How do we live in submission and obedience to the direction of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit? Now, the word in the Scriptures for Spirit literally means the one who wants to be by my side. I love that. That translation saying that God's desire is to be by our side. And we looked last week, at the tail end of last week, we talked about the fact that God sent His Holy Spirit when Jesus went into heaven, after He ascended into heaven, after His crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. He then went into heaven, He ascended into heaven, and He promised the disciples, He said, I may be going away, but don't worry, I'm going to send you one who's going to, really what He was saying, I'm sending you one who will be, it's going to be even better than me, He's going to be by your side. He's never going to depart from you. The presence of God is going to be with you forever. And that's truly the prayer that we should have for one another. What we should pray for every one of us is that, God, I just pray that every single one of us would have this sense, this understanding that the Holy Spirit is by our side. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and listen to what it says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. You see that? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. What Paul was saying is this: I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit desires to be with you, all of you, all the time. And that's the prayer, that we will have this intimate friendship, this intimate personal relationship or fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And it should be the closest thing to having Jesus himself right here with us every day. As a matter of fact, the goal is that we would develop this comfort level of understanding and this sense of the Holy Spirit, this sense of the person of God with us from the moment we get up in the morning to the time that we lay our heads on our pillows at night to go to sleep. I was laying in bed last night. I was looking back over my notes, and as I laid down, I was laying there just awake about whatever time, oh dark 30, whatever time it was last night, and I was just laying there, and I was just like, God, I just want to be so aware of your presence. God, I want to be so aware of your Spirit. This morning when I got up and I was looking back over my notes again this morning, I was just like, God, just help me daily to be aware of your Spirit. Help me continually to be sensitive to your person, the person of the Holy Spirit. And church, that's what we need to be praying every day. As we're going through the course of our day, our schedules, our work life, our family life, God, I just want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God, I want to be sensitive to your voice speaking to me every moment of every day. Lord, I want to be obedient. That should be the church's prayer. Every disciple of Jesus Christ should have this prayer. God, I just want to be sensitive to you. I want to be aware that you're by my side always, that you're closer to me than the best friend on this earth that I have. You're closer to me than any family member. God, you're just close. I sense your Spirit speaking to me. I'm comfortable with you. And that's what we're talking about, is gaining this level of comfort, in having this personal relationship with God's Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, so we're going to dig a little bit deeper this morning. I want us to all get this understanding of what it means to be anointed, of what the Scripture says, what it teaches about the Spirit. Now, when you look in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is referenced at least 59 times in the book of Acts. At least 59 times in the book of Acts. And in 36 of those references to the Holy Spirit, of all of those different appearances, he's speaking. So think about that. The Holy Spirit is referenced 59 times in the book of Acts. Of those 59 times, 36, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Now, latch on to that. I mean, but wait. Now, listen, here's what people say. People say, well, you can't really say the Holy Spirit was speaking in Acts. You cannot really use the book of Acts. Some people would go so far as saying, you can't really take what happened in the New Testament and apply that to our generation today. A lot of people say that. They say, listen, the apostles were a unique group, and you can't really take that pattern during the apostolic age and apply it to our generation today. You said it just can't happen. And we understand that the book of Acts, the New Testament, the writing of the Gospels, it represents something very unique. It was a special epoch of apostolic history. You know, that was something really powerful. The Holy Spirit was moving in the disciples, in those early disciples, and in the apostles. But you can't convince me. Now think about this. You can't convince me that the only book that God gave us with examples how the church walks with the Spirit is filled with all of these stories about the Spirit moving inside the church, and that we have nothing in common with the Holy Spirit moving in the church in our generation. You can't convince me that we don't have something in common to that degree. Amen? So because a lot of people would like to say, well, that was just the Spirit age. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't move like that in the church today. Now, let me say this. The Holy Spirit doesn't move like that in a lot of churches today. Amen? But what we're praying for and what our desire is God, we desire for you to move in power, the power of the person of your Holy Spirit in our church, in our people, in our families. We desire a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit like we're reading about in the book of Acts. We desire you to move and give us guidance and direction. We want to sense your presence close to us. We want to feel like you are by my side continually. We want to be sensitive to your presence. Amen, church? I mean, that's what we want. That's what we should be desperately crying for. Father, pour out your Spirit on us. John Newton says that. He says, is it really true that which the early church so depended on, the leadership of the Spirit, is irrelevant for us today? I would say it's not irrelevant for us today. It should be incredibly relevant, the move of the Holy Spirit. So what we are talking about is understanding the Spirit. What we're talking about is saying, look, we're blowing this whole thing up that Baptists don't talk about the Holy Spirit in church. Amen? Some of you are like, I wish you'd move on. I'm getting me uncomfortable talking about the Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit. Everybody look at me. Everybody look up here. Everybody look up here. Everybody say, Holy Spirit. Everybody say, move, Holy Spirit. Y'all saying, that's weird. Everybody do this when you do it. You got to do it like that. Move, Holy Spirit. You know, you got to make it weird. You know, you got to do something strange and hokey. You know? That's something strange and hokey, preacher. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit moving. But what we've got to come to this understanding is we're saying, God, we just desire you to pour out your presence on us in the church. Pour out your presence on me and my family, in my daily life. So we desperately need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to understand more the Spirit, and we understand more the Holy Spirit and the way it's referred, the way he's referred to in Scripture, the better we can live and understand that in our generation. So let's do that real quick. I've given you in your notes this morning, the word Spirit simply means wind. Simply means wind. Jim Cimbala, pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, wrote a great little book. If you've never read it, I want to encourage you to read it. It's called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. And it was a great little book. It's a quick read, but it's talking about the move of the Holy Spirit. So the word Spirit simply means wind. More specifically, it means a breath. It means a breath. So the word in the Old Testament that you'll read for Spirit is the word ruach. I can't do it, Travis. Did you ever learn that in those crap? Ruach. It's kind of the Hebrew word the Jews would say. It's like sound like they were trying to get some out of the back of their throat. And then, ruach, ruach, wind, breath. And so everybody do that. Go ruach. Yeah, that's right. Some of y'all made the face when you did it too. It was really great. But anyway, I won't make fun of you. But anyway, somebody actually went ruach. That's good. It's good. It sounded right. But here it's talking about wind and breath and spirit. That's what it means. A wind, a breath. Some translations say a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. And in the Old Testament, you see it's referred to as the wind, the breath, the spirit. Now, the Spirit of God, and we talked about this last week, people say, well, the Spirit doesn't show up until Acts in the New Testament. But we see the Spirit of God all throughout the Old Testament. The very first time shows up in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty. Listen, darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. Verse 2, Genesis 1, verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Have you ever been to the beach and right before a storm rolls in and the water's kind of calm and you're looking and you can just see the clouds moving back and forth and you can feel the wind coming and the waters are calm, but the wind is moving, the wind is blowing and the clouds are moving and you're just like, wow, a storm's coming. Or maybe you've been sitting on the banks of a lake and the water's calm and you see a storm coming and the wind is howling and the clouds are moving and the water is just the top of the water is just moving with ripples because the wind's blowing across it. That's this picture in Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. The picture is the Spirit, the wind, the breath, the Spirit of God hovering. Even before the creation of all things, the Spirit was ready to move and blow and he was causing things to ripple. And that's this imagery of Genesis chapter 1. That God's ruach, the breath of God, was hovering over the waters. And I was reading that this week and I was thinking, man, that we should just begin praying. It's almost like God's Spirit is just hovering over us. And we're just sitting here all calm, ready for Him to do something. But we've got to invite Him to come in. God, move in power and stir us from our slumber. Amen. And so God's Ruach. And then we look in the New Testament and we see this different word. And it's the word pneuma. The word pneuma. And it again means spirit, a gentle blast. It says a wind, a rushing wind, or a life-giving breath. Now, think about this. A life-giving breath. It's like the breath coming from the nostrils or the mouth. Some people said, okay, now picture this. Some of you in here in the medical field, some of you have seen or watched videos or seen people that have been resuscitated. They weren't breathing. And I was watching a television show the other day. I'll tell you what it was. I'm not ashamed. I was watching Live PD the other night. You know, anybody else watch that? Am I the only one? You know, I love Live PD. And I was watching this, and this guy had stopped breathing. And they pulled him out on the ground, and there was a nurse standing by. And she came over, and they started breathing life into this guy. And they brought him back to life. And it's basically this life-giving breath that she breathed into the body that was dead. And you see, that's the imagery that we see in the New Testament, that there is something dead that is all of us, because without Christ in our lives, we are like dead men walking. And it's like God comes along and He says, look, I have this desire to breathe life into you and bring you from death into life through the indwelling of my Holy Spirit. And that's the picture of the New Testament, pneuma. He says, I'm going to breathe life into you. Listen, there are some churches that need the Holy Spirit to move so that He might breathe life into us. Amen? That's what we need to be praying. God, breathe life into us. Pour out Your Spirit on us in such a way that we might be dead, or we might be on life support. Some of our personal spiritual lives, we're just barely hanging on. And our prayer needs to be, God, I'm just praying that You would breathe life into me. And that's the Spirit of God. That's what we see about the Spirit. Now, there's a couple things that I want us to look at. Three very quick things. Three characteristics of the Spirit of God that are so very important. They're unique to wind and breath. And here they are. Number one, He's unseen. He's unseen. Now, this is something that God desires. He intends for His presence to be experienced. That's what we do in worship. I mean, we're inviting the manifest presence of God to be here in the room. Listen, as you get up on Sunday morning, what you need to be praying as you're coming to church for all week, God, we just pray for a fresh outpouring of Your Spirit. We may not see it, but we should be able to sense it. God, we just pray for Your Spirit to move in church today. God, as we lift up our voices in song, we pray that Your presence would inhabit our song, inhabit the words of our praise. God, pour out Your Spirit. And that's the picture that we see in this New Testament. Several years ago, one of our guests, first-time guests to the church, we were talking on the phone, and we were just talking about worship. And I said, hey, we're so glad you were here today, or here this past Sunday. And I said, hey, I hope you enjoyed the worship service. Hope you had a good time, met some folks maybe that you didn't know. And he said, Pastor, I asked him this question. I said, did you enjoy the service this past week? And he said, Pastor, I don't know if you felt this or not. And he paused for just a second. He said, I don't know if you felt this or not. And he said, but the Spirit of God was moving in the worship service. And listen what he said. He said, I could feel Him in the room. I could feel Him in the room. Have you ever been by yourself somewhere in a room and somebody walks in? You know what I'm talking about? And they're trying to be real quiet. Happens at our house all the time. It's usually followed by somebody screaming in your ear to scare you to death. But you're by yourself in a room, and it's just like you're sitting there and you're not paying attention. All of a sudden you're just like, it's very weird. I feel like somebody's standing next to me. You know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, it's so weird. I don't see anybody, but it really feels like somebody's close to me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Say, we got it? We know what you're talking about. Does anybody need me to come stand next to you? No. It's this sense that the Spirit of God, and that's what he's unseen. And what he was talking about was, he was saying, I felt the pneuma. I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of God's people. And that's what we need to be praying. We talked about this last Sunday night. What is it that we want people to come and experience when they come to church? We don't want people just to come to church and experience some good music and a good chat or a TED talk. You hear what I'm saying? That's not what we want people to experience when they come to church. When you come into the house of God, our desire is that you would sense the Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit moving and speaking and drawing you closer to the person of God the Father through the Spirit as He exalts the name of Jesus. Do we see that? That's what it is. And when we pray, God, we pray that we could sense the Spirit breathing into us. What we're drawn to and what people will be drawn to in the church. Listen, people are not going to be drawn to a good communicator on a platform. Those are a dime a dozen. People are not going to be drawn to, well, maybe they are drawn to a great music experience. People like music, but it has nothing to do with the person of the Spirit of God. What we need to pray about and what we need to cry for desperately is, God, we are praying that you would move in power and that your Spirit would be so evident in our gathering together that, Lord, people just clamor. We can't wait to get there to experience the presence again. That's what we need. So here, he's unseen. John chapter 20, verse 29 said, Jesus is speaking and he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who have believed, or those who will believe without seeing, are blessed. You see, a lot of us would rather see a Savior who walks beside us than the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. You hear what I'm saying? We would rather have that one-time experience of saying, I saw Jesus, and God says, well, hold on a second. My Spirit is living inside of you all the time if you've accepted my son Jesus. Now in John chapter 3, we read about this conversation that Jesus had with a man named Nicodemus, and he was this ruler of the Pharisees. Jesus told him something incredible. He said, I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus asked him the right question. How can someone be born again if they're already grown up? And he says, you can't enter into your mother's womb a second time. That would be weird, right? And just be awkward for everyone involved. And then Jesus says, he says, let me assure you of something. He says, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, but whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, what he was telling Nicodemus was, you've got to understand, this is something that you can't see. It's something you experience. My presence, my Spirit is going to come back. Now, I could preach for the next 30 minutes just on this passage of Scripture itself. But understand, what Jesus was telling Nicodemus is the wind, and I love this picture, the wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You know what Jesus was saying about the Holy Spirit? He was saying the Holy Spirit, not only is he unseen, but the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. And what he was saying to Nicodemus was, get this, you think you've got it all figured out, but I'm telling you, once the Spirit of God is moving, the Holy Spirit's unpredictable. You'll never know or see what he's doing. The wind blows where it pleases. The Holy Spirit blows or moves where he pleases. You may even hear the sound. You may even sense the Spirit's presence, but you'll not be able to know exactly what he's doing. You won't know where he came from or where he's going. He's going to be moving. He's unpredictable. It's like that with everyone born of the Spirit. He's going to lead you to do something that you never intended to do. He's going to move you away from certain people that you desired to have a relationship with, but the Holy Spirit will say, that doesn't honor me. He'll lead you away from a sinful lifestyle to keep you holy and draw you closer to him. He'll clean up your language because you speak words that don't honor him and bring glory to him. He'll clean up your relationships because you're supposed to be bringing glory to him. And the Holy Spirit moves in a way that's unpredictable. Several years ago, on a Wednesday night, I was shopping after Bible study prayer meeting on a Wednesday evening, and I just had to run by the Kroger's and pick up some bread and some milk. Amen? Anybody with me? You know, Melissa, run by the store, pick up some bread and some milk. Take you 5 minutes. Okay. I was really thinking, why don't you run by Kroger? You pick up some bread and milk, it'll take you 5 minutes. But I wasn't grumbling that in the truck on the way to the Kroger. But anyway, she knows when I go to the store, it doesn't take 5 minutes, does it, baby? It takes how many? Like 30. Yeah, so it'll take, because I like to look. But anyway, I like to shop. There's cookies. But anyway, so I go to the Kroger, and I'm like, bread and milk. I got an agenda. I'm going in for bread. Boom, bread. Throw it in the buggy. Run over. Milk's all the way on the other side of the store. They do that, so you have to go by the cookie aisle and ice cream and all that stuff. But I'm just going to get some milk, and I'm pushing my little buggy. I got one thing in there. I got the bread. I got some cookies and put them in there, and I'm headed to get milk because milk goes good with Oreos. And I'm walking across the front of the store. And I walked past the magazine aisle, and there's a guy. I'm walking past the aisle, and I made the mistake. I just looked down the magazine aisle, and there's this guy standing there in the magazine aisle reading a what? A magazine. Context clues. All right, so anyway, so he's in the magazine aisle. He's reading a magazine, and I walk by, and I just glance this, and I'm walking to get the milk, and it's like God's Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, go back and talk to that man, and I'm like, man, bread and milk, 5 minutes. It was going to take 5 minutes. And I was like, and I actually turned around and I walked back by the aisle and I looked down there. He's still standing there. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get the bread and the milk. I got cookies. And I ran back and I got the milk all the way back in the back corner of the Kroger's. And I'm coming back. And it's like God's Spirit was speaking to me. He's like, I want you to go talk to this guy. And I said, Lord, I don't have time. It's late. It's Wednesday night. It's already almost 9. I wanted to get home. And I walked back by and I was like, Lord, if he's still standing there reading a magazine, I'll go talk to him. He's unpredictable, this Holy Spirit. And I walk back by and he's still standing there. He's still standing there reading a magazine. He's got nappy looking hair. He's got tattoos all over. He's got a tight t-shirt with his big biceps. Kind of like, he looked like me basically. He's standing there and he's reading magazine. He's got his big biceps on, tight t-shirt, long hair, tats everywhere. I was like, man, I walked by and I thought, and I just turned into the checkout line and I could see him from where I was standing in the checkout line. And it's like the Spirit of God said, I told you to go talk to this guy. And I'm standing in line. There's like one little old lady in front of me. She's got a bazillion groceries. I don't know why she's doing that on a Wednesday night. And the Holy Spirit said, I told you to go talk to that guy. And I was like, oh. And I turned around and looked. He's still standing there looking at that same stupid magazine. I just buy the magazine and go, man. But he's just standing there. That's how you did it for free. Read the whole thing. And I was like, okay, God, I'm going to go. And I got out of line. Excuse me, people that were behind me. I walked and I went to the magazine aisle and I pulled down. I thought, I wonder. And I just reached over and I got a magazine. I looked over and he was reading about motorcycles in a magazine. And I was like, ah, oh, stupid. So I just looked at him. I said, hey, man, that's a good looking motorcycle. I have a Harley, you know. He said, yeah, you ride. I said, yeah, I got a Harley, blah, blah, blah. We started talking about motorcycles. And I was thinking, okay, that's it. All right, I talked to him, God. I looked at my watch. I was like, I got to get out of here. And God says, ask him. Ask him. I was like, God, this is longer than 5 minutes. So I'm looking at a magazine. I said, hey. And I thought, I ain't got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this. And I just looked at him. I just turned, just looked straight at him. I said, hey, man. I said, look, here's the deal. I said, God told me to come talk to you. And he's kind of jerked his head over at me. I said, yeah, I know. I didn't want to do it either. And I said, God told me, I said, I've been trying to get out of this store for like the last 20 minutes now. And God told me to come talk to you. And I said, God wants you to know that He loves you, and He has a plan for your life, and He desires a relationship with you. And I just quickly outlined the plan of salvation. And I said, look, I know it's weird. And I said, I know we're standing in the magazine aisle at Kroger. I said, and I got to get home. I said, I'm going to go check out with my groceries. And I said, if you want to hear more about how much God loves you, I said, and I pointed through the front window at Kroger, and I said, that's my black truck right out there. It was like the last one in the parking lot. And I said, if you're there when I get done checking out my groceries, I said, I want to tell you how much God loves you. Do you know that once I bought my groceries and checked out, this guy standing by my truck, I put my groceries in the back of my old F-150 and I popped the tailgate down, and me and this guy sat on the back of my tailgate in Kroger, just the two of us. There wasn't anybody else hardly around except the people closing the Kroger. And I went through the plan of salvation. I told him how much God loved him, and he looked at me and he said, I was going somewhere tonight to kill myself. And he told me this story about what had been going on in his life. And I shared the gospel with him. We talked for a while, and I invited him to come to church that next Sunday. I said, listen, come to church Sunday. I pastored just right up here, and I told him where our church was. Sunday morning, I'm standing at the pulpit about to start preaching, and we'd already done the announcements, already done the welcome, all the stuff. And I said, hey, I want y'all to pray for this guy. And I shared his name, and I said, I want y'all to pray for this guy that I met at Kroger the other night. I didn't tell him anything else. I said, y'all just pray for this guy. I said, he's having a tough time. I said, let's pray for him right now. And everybody just bowed their heads, and we prayed for this guy. I said, amen. And as soon as I lifted my head, the front door of the church, I could see it. The front door of the church came open, and he walked in. And he sat in the back. Guys, what does it have to do with anything? The Holy Spirit is unpredictable. He's going to ask you to do some things that you've never done before. He's going to ask you to do some things that are uncomfortable. But here's the thing, and I'm going to tell you this. You can write this down, this isn't in your notes. This is free stuff. You've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You've got to get to this point in your life where you're sensitive and you sense Him close by you. You've got to be listening and surrendered. I struggled that night because I thought, how dumb is this? He's going to think I'm a weirdo coming up to him in the magazine aisle at the Kroger at like 9-something at night talking to him about God. It doesn't make any sense. But God thought it doesn't make any sense for you, stupid preacher, to go to church on a Wednesday and talk about all the stuff you talk about me and then come to Kroger and won't be surrendered to me. So we've got to be surrendered, and we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we've got to be obedient, church. We've got to be obedient. And when we get to this point of desperation, desiring to be surrendered and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, obedient, and God will begin to move in unpredictable ways like we've never seen happen in the life of the church. And don't we want that? I got like another hour I could preach. Here's something unpredictable. I'm going to quit on time. I'll give you the rest of it next week. Amen. Ralph will be here whether anybody else shows up or not. Hey, listen. This morning, somebody may be here today and you've been struggling with something. Your heart's broken over something. Maybe you've been living a life of rebellion. Maybe you've just been doing your own thing, not caring what God was calling you to do, speaking to you about changing, sin that He's been encouraging you and convicting you of that you need to confess and repent of and begin living a new way of life. Maybe you just need to get back in God's house and start worshiping Him again. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today that our Holy Spirit is unpredictable and He's powerful and God loves you. And He, right now, that thing that you feel in your chest, that thought you feel in your head, that you're like, man, God is God speaking to me? It's the Holy Spirit telling you that it's time to make a move. It's time to make a change. It's time to be submissive and obedient and allow God to do something in your life that is supernatural and that can only happen when you humble yourself in the presence of a holy God. Let's pray together.